This podcast is brought to you by Infosys. We are over 300,000 experts working with digital technologies all over the world to amplify human potential and create the next opportunity for people, businesses, and communities.
This is your tech news briefing for Tuesday, March 21st. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Chipmaker Micron plans to build a massive semiconductor manufacturing campus in upstate New York, and it estimates when it opens around 50,000 jobs between internal posts, contractors, and suppliers will be created. But there's a catch. The area doesn't have those workers. And that's not just a problem for Micron. It could be a blow to the Biden administration. Our reporter Joseph De Avila joins us to discuss how the company and region are addressing the labor shortage, and what the issue says about the challenges facing U.S. efforts to boost domestic chip production. That's after these headlines. Amazon said it plans to cut 9,000 more corporate jobs, including roles in its profitable cloud computing and advertising businesses. In a statement, CEO Andy Jassy noted the company added a significant number of employees in recent years. He said that had been necessary given the business environment at the time. Now, however, economic uncertainty called for streamlining costs and headcount. Earlier this year, Amazon announced it was slashing a separate 18,000 roles. Could ChatGPT be a tool for hackers? Two security researchers said the generative AI chatbot helped them win the Zero Day Initiative's hackathon last month. The goal of the three-day event was to disrupt, break into, and take over Internet of Things and industrial systems. The researchers said they identified bugs in the systems and used ChatGPT to help write code to chain the bugs together, shortening the hacking process by hours. Their win has spurred speculation about how real hackers might use ChatGPT or similar tools to launch faster, more effective attacks. And the competition between the U.S. and China to dominate global tech supply chains has been heating up after the U.S. launched the CHIPS Act last month. While Washington funnels money into a handful of producers, Beijing is taking a different approach. It's giving support to thousands of small companies. These businesses, known as little giants, are small, specialized, and widely unknown, but they have the potential to dominate in major tech industries. Our China tech reporter Karen Howe explains.
So you would have never heard of these companies because they're not consumer-facing. They don't make components that you would normally think about. But that's the idea behind the program, is they're trying to get the entire supply chain along critical industries like in aerospace or in telecommunications or in semiconductors to be strong domestically so that they don't have to rely on foreign companies.
All right, speaking of the CHIPS Act, the U.S. wants to bring semiconductor manufacturing back to its shores with plans to build massive chip plants in the country. But figuring out who's actually going to work there, that's a problem. We'll explain why and what's being done about it when we come back.
This podcast is brought to you by Infosys, the global digital services and consulting partner of choice for the world's most powerful businesses.
Micron Technologies plans to invest $100 billion to open a semiconductor manufacturing campus in Clay, New York, just outside Syracuse. Construction of the plant is scheduled to start next year, and production will begin a few years later. But there's already a problem, a lack of skilled workers in the area. And that could be a big challenge for the Biden administration's ambitious plan to bring chip manufacturing back to the U.S., and reduce the national and economic risks of getting chips from Taiwan and other countries. With me now is WSJ reporter Joseph De Avila. Hi, Joseph. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about Clay, New York.
So Clay, New York is in this part of central New York. It's a part of the state where young people who have just graduated from college, their population is declining. This is also an area that historically has relied on manufacturing jobs. And when those jobs started to leave in earlier decades, that's when we started to see some challenges with the population and with demographics. And the last time we saw the employment peak for the greater Syracuse area was back in 2000. And that was basically the high point for them. And they haven't matched that since. And, you know, since the pandemic, all the jobs that were lost during the pandemic hasn't been fully recovered. Syracuse University is there, and obviously that's a huge draw for folks. And this is one of the major reasons why Micron decided to even set up shop here, is because, you know, Syracuse is nearby and there's a lot of other colleges that can provide a potential pipeline for workers.
Okay, so I guess that explains a little bit why they picked this sort of classic Rust Belt town for their big semiconductor manufacturing plans. What kind of skills does it take to manufacture these? What kind of workers will they need?
So they're looking for engineers, lots of different engineers. And so these are folks that are going to have a college degree in engineering, and there's going to be various types of engineers that they're going to be looking for. And then the other part is technicians. So they're going to need technicians to operate a lot of this equipment and to help with maintenance for the equipment. And, you know, the company has been working with different training centers, trying to get out and help with workforce development to build that pipeline to add all these jobs over the next few years.
Can you tell me a little bit more about those programs?
So basically, what Micron is doing is they are working with local universities and community colleges. They're working with them on beefing up their curriculum. They want to churn out as many engineers as possible. They're also investing in local training programs to help folks who would like to become a technician to work in the most high-tech of manufacturing that there is. And another thing that they're doing is they are working with local K-12 schools in the Syracuse region. And they're giving them some money for funding, and they really want these schools to be building on their STEM offerings to get those young people interested in science and math to help prepare them for potential career at their new facilities.
What do people who live in Clay, New York, think of these programs?
For a lot of folks, there's an excitement that this is going to be a big employer that's coming. They're going to be offering good paying jobs. Average salaries are going to be about $100,000 per year. You know, also some folks who think it might be, you know, too good to be true, and they want to see it before they believe it.
You mentioned that Micron was working with the state and local government on this. You know, the Chips and Science Act that was signed into law last year included $39 billion in incentives for companies to start manufacturing chips in the U.S. Is there any additional funding to help Micron or other companies build up its workforce or attract new workers?
So, yes, they'll be applying for money from the federal government through the new CHIPS Act, and they have already reached an agreement with New York State to get $5.5 billion in tax benefits from the state, and that's with an agreement that they will create 9,000 jobs over the next two decades.
Is this a Micron problem, or is this a nationwide problem?
In terms of finding engineers for high-tech jobs like this, it's definitely something that's happening nationwide. The association that represents the companies that make semiconductors, they say that there's going to be a 20% increase in demand for engineers over the next 5 years across the U.S. So it's definitely something that other places are seeing as well.
The Biden administration has really championed domestic production of semiconductors. Could the lack of workers derail that?
Well, it'll certainly be a challenge. And that's one of the reasons why the Biden administration made this money available. This new pot of money is going to help these companies build the facilities, and that's going to give them an extra incentive to go out and make sure that the workforce is trained and ready.
All right, that's our reporter, Joseph De Avila. Thanks for joining us, Joseph.
Thank you.
All right, that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. But a quick note before we close the show, we still want to hear your questions about generative artificial intelligence. AI programs like ChatGPT, Microsoft's new Bing, or Midjourney, and we're going to answer them on an upcoming episode. Leave us a voicemail with your AI question at 415 415- 239-6482. Or send us an email with a voice recording to tnb@wsj.com. We look forward to hearing from you. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks so much for listening.
Join us online Tuesday, March 28th at the WSJ Jobs Summit when The Wall Street Journal brings together leaders offering the latest job market insights and a toolkit on how to turn this volatile job market into your competitive advantage. Register today. Visit wsj.com/jobsummitpodcast and claim your ticket at no cost.